The incompetent waiter as a sign of a strong economy, or why we should embrace lousy service. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The big employment and unemployment report for the month of April comes out tomorrow. Let's check in with Diane Swank, CEO of DS Economics in Chicago.
We're actually expecting a little lighter than consensus, around 150,000. What we've got is a couple things going on. Is one is the retail restructuring. This is secular. The retailers did start closing down stores. And then there's the uncertainty about the Affordable Care Act. There has been some slowdown in healthcare hiring, which was one of the biggest drivers. Still, anything over 100,000 is enough in this economy to keep the pressure on. I think wages are going to be a little bit lighter this month than we've seen in previous months, but that's more of a hiccup than a trend. Everyone asks me, what's the best indicator of the labor market? How's the service behind the counter in any restaurant you walk into? And boy, it started to deteriorate, which, hallelujah, that means the economy's getting better.
Because the competent waiters are getting other higher paid jobs?
Absolutely. When you start seeing people who are sort of lower down and deeper into the pool of employers having to dip in and employers having to train now, they're complaining about it. But that's the first sign of a labor market that's really tightening, is when they have to invest in their workers. And that's something that I sort of embrace.
All right. I'll look out for the surly service. Diane Swank at DS Economics. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that was the April employment and unemployment report she was talking about earlier in the conversation. A White House executive order today is framed as about religious liberty, but it could have ramifications on the job. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra is following this. Mariel, the order is going to say something about whether religious groups can get involved in politics?
Right. Under federal tax code, churches and other religious groups can't endorse or oppose a political candidate. If they do, the IRS can revoke their tax-exempt status. Some religious groups say this chills free speech. The president can't get rid of this part of the tax code. Congress would have to do that. But the White House says the executive order the president's going to sign today will allow the IRS to use its discretion when deciding whether to enforce this rule. That could mean the federal agency stops investigating these cases.
I see. Another big topic here has been employer health coverage for contraceptives. Is this executive order going to address that?
Yeah. Currently, under a federal guideline, employers of a certain size are required to offer coverage for contraception in their employee insurance plans. Religious employers like Christian hospitals, for example, say this violates their religious liberty. There are some caveats here. Churches are exempt, and after a 2014 Supreme Court decision, closely held for-profit companies don't have to provide this coverage either. Their insurance companies do that directly. The White House says today's order is going to provide some sort of regulatory relief for the groups that object to this requirement. We're not sure exactly what form that'll take.
All right. Well, we'll watch for that. Marketplace Mariel Segarra, thank you. Now, we're coming up on the summer internship season. Most interns won't make $8,000 a month. Now, that is the average intern salary at Facebook, according to a recent survey from Glassdoor. But they aren't likely to be fetching coffee for free either. Marketplace's Rima Crace reports.
When 20-year-old Savon Smalls applied for an internship at BuzzFeed, he did it BuzzFeed style, a listicle of 10 reasons he should be hired.
I'd like to hopefully work there for the summer and then see if that turns out into a potential job prospect.
Edwin Koch heads up the research division of the National Association of Colleges and Employers.
Internships are actually up for the first time in the last 3-4 years.
Thank you, tight labor market. Scott Dabrowski is an analyst with Glassdoor.
The industries where we are seeing interns get hired on as entry-level talent tend to be the industries with the most competition right now. Technology, consulting.
It's hard to know how many interns work for free, but Dabrowski says that average paid intern makes about $3,000 a month and does
exactly what entry-level employees do alongside the full and part-time employees.
Real work for real money. I'm Rima Crace for Marketplace.
Women and minority investment managers are effectively locked out of the big money in that massive industry. A new study from Harvard University and Bella Research and commissioned by the Knight Foundation finds that just 1.1% of the $71 trillion in all assets under management are invested by investment firms owned by women and minorities. Alberto Ibarguen is president and CEO of the Knight Foundation.
It is mainly white males who are managing all that money. Only about 1% to 5%, depending on the category, is managed by minorities or women. And the categories are mutual funds, private equity, hedge, and real estate.
And if we just stop for a moment just to reflect on what you just said, 99% chance it's a white guy who owns the company that manages your money.
That's right.
New to the job and ahead of a conference about this, Ibarguen checked with his CFO to see how much of Knight's more than $2 billion endowment was run by minority and women-owned firms. The answer, just a modest $7 million Ibarguen himself had recently authorized.
I thought if we, all things being equal, we'll give the nod to the woman or minority firm. And so we started looking at what does all things being equal look like and who's making the decisions. Well, who's making the decisions generally in endowment offices generally have been white males. And we are now almost at $500 million. It's about 22.5%. of our assets are under management by minorities and women. And the best part of it is they are performing at or above the same level as all of our other managers in those sectors.
So a foundation like yours is focused on this. We see some wealthy individuals trying to diversify the ownership of where their money is managed. How do you get the big money, the institutional investors, the pension funds, hip to this whole thing?
One of the reasons for focusing on foundations and then possibly on university endowments is that you will develop a track record that will make a compelling argument for the kinds of really big funds that you're talking about. But frankly, I think they could start now. It's not something that you do overnight. These are data-driven people. They are in a hard business of making money for good reason. We need to give them all the tools they need in order to make the right decision.
You can read more about this study at marketplace.org. Alberto Ibarguen is president and CEO of the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation. Mr. Ibarguen, thank you for this.
Thank you.
The Knight Foundation supports journalism and the arts. Disclosure, it's been a funder of Marketplace's parent company, American Public Media. And Tesla stock down 3% now. Sales more than doubled in the first quarter at the electric car company, but investors were focused on the loss that was deeper than expected. Tesla CEO Elon Musk says production for the much-anticipated Model 3 aimed at upper-middle-class buyers is still on track to begin this summer. There's some concern that hope for the cheaper car could be denting sales of the fancier models. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.